It's Loving the Strange with Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar. Loving the Strange, a podcast for weirdos and those who want to be weirder, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Loving the Strange. Check us out. Hey, welcome to Loving the Strange.
What's going on, baby? We haven't been here so long. All of our listeners probably got cast off. They probably found other podcasts to listen to.
I'm sure they did.
On Friday night.
I'm sure they did.
Live.
Because, yeah.
They're more humorous than ours.
Because we are on an every other week schedule, but then Sean...
I screwed that up.
He screwed it up royally because he did a big thing. He did a huge thing. He did a thing that I would never in a million years do.
Well, if I ever get drawn for that alligator tags again, you'll come with me.
So, what did he do? He just gave it away.
I went on an alligator hunt.
Alligators. He killed things. Live things. He murdered them.
If they're not live, you can't kill them.
With a bunch of bang stick things and harpoons and men.
Men.
Doing manly things on an airboat in Florida.
Yeah.
And there's our neighbor's car leaving right now in the middle of the podcast. But hey, welcome to the podcast. So we had to have a last minute change in our podcast.
We did, because I realized we've done this subject before.
Yes, and Dee Harris is here. Hi, Dee. Who is almost having a birthday, Dee. Dee even gave us links. And then Sean had a last minute epiphany that we have already talked about things people collect. Because I think that's when I told my very amazing story about the guy whose dad was the editor of Rolling Stone magazine in college. And he collected all the body detritus, like toenails and boogers.
That's enough of that story.
Nasty. And John Bell is also here. So Dee and John Bell are here. And honestly, that makes a party. And John said he'll always be here unless he dies.
It would make a party if the four of us could get together. We could have a good party.
We could have a really good party, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thanks Dee and John for being here and making this worth it for us.
Yes, very much.
Yeah. I also have a pimple.
Oh my God, why would you want to talk about it?
Because I kept moving. And if you don't know anything about me, you now will know something very secret.
What's
ready?
That?
I name all my pimples after vice presidents. So whenever there's a new vice president, I have a new name for my pimple. So right, this pimple is Harris.
Yeah, she's not lying. Last 2 years ago, it was Pence for a while.
I've had a Pence. I had like a Biden.
Biden
was there for a bit. Yeah, it's like, it's just a thing. I had a lot of Bidens. Yeah, it was a tense time. And I have pimples when I get stressed. So I'm stressed.
Oh my God.
Ruining my jawline.
I can't believe it's been 3 weeks since we've done this.
I know.
I can tell.
We are wicked out of practice. So we decided today that in our last minute
change of topic.
Yeah, panic. I was going to use the word panic.
That's cool.
That we were going to talk about creepy stories instead because.
Oh, creepy?
Oh. Dee can't hear anything, but she's here. I hope she can hear.
Oh, no.
I hope other people can hear.
I hope so, too.
Anyways.
Is your microphone volume turned up?
Dude, I don't know, man. So, anyways, we're going to do creepy stories instead while I double-check my microphone volume. And, Sean, do you have a creepy story to start us off?
Well, no, baby. You just skimmed over the whole secondary drama right there. John Bell says loud and clear.
Oh, thank God.
Because, in my mind, you changed it from creepy stories to just strange stories you can find on the internet.
Yeah, I'm good with anything.
So, Susie said she can hear us too.
Woo! It's because Dee's out partying.
Oh,
we just found out because Dee's wrote, I'm out celebrating my birthday with friends. I forgot what time it was. But you're still here, Dee.
Yeah.
Your poor friends. Shut us off, Dee. Gosh.
Dee, is your birthday today or tomorrow?
I think it's tomorrow, boo.
I don't know. I don't need specific clarification that I'll never forget.
Yay. And Susie said that she can hear us and she's glad that we're back.
I want to give a shout out to Dee for the awesome birthday card. Thanks so much.
I can't make a face because every time I make a face, you see my pimple.
What would you make a face for, a birthday card?
I don't know. I just make a lot of faces. I've never realized it until right now.
Oh, okay.
All right, so we're going to do strange stories, creepy stories, in honor of Dee, who's almost a birthday, or it is her birthday. And
she can't hear us. So.
She can't hear us, but that's okay. She'll know in her heart that we are doing and dedicating this entire podcast to her. It's for you, Dee, because we love you, and you're another year older. So, do you want to start us off, Sean, or do you want
me to?
No,
I want you to, please.
All right, so.
I know you've got at least two stories up there. Ready,
all right.
Ready to roll.
This is one of my favorite stories, and it's on Facebook, actually, on a group called Unexplained Maine, which has 40,000 people who have liked this. Compare that to, you know, my page where two people have, but I'm not going to have envy, not going to have jealousy.
That's good.
Just going to tell this story. Ready?
Yeah.
Dancing in the moonlight. It was December 11th, 2012. My husband and I and our two young kids were staying in a camp on a peninsula in a lake in the woods. Whew. That's a lot of prepositional phrases.
Yeah.
It used to be an old hunting camp. Now it was rebuilt into a beautiful home on the edge of the water. The place was nice, and we spent time between it and our own home, a short drive away. The property belonged to some friends, and we were their caretakers as they only spent a handful of weeks each year at the point. Our daughter took her first steps in that house with loons calling off the front porch and sparkling sunlight dancing across the walls, rippling off the moving water. The kids learned to swim and kayak in this magical place. We had campfires and foraged blueberries and watched the stars shimmer on the quiet black lake top at night. This place, why are you laughing?
I just hope this story lives up to all this descriptive language.
I feel like this person might be a writer. Anyways, this place down a long, windy gravel road became our peaceful sanctuary. The previous person that owned the old hunting camp was good friends with the current owners, and they had known each other for years. His name was Doc Robinson. He sang that popular song, Dancing in the Moonlight, from the 1970s. Do you know that song, Bae?
I do know it, but did he sing it because he liked it, or was he the singer of the song?
I think he was the singer of the song.
Okay.
But you could look that up. All right,
sure,
so
right
on this day in December, but no, you have to listen to the story.
I am.
Okay, on this day in December, there were about 15 inches of snow on the ground. I shoveled a path down to the fire pit so we could enjoy it later that afternoon. It was a gray sky on a windless day. I was in the kitchen making early dinner while my husband lit the fire, and the kids were cuddled up in the next room on the king-size bed watching Max and Ruby. The oven timer, which hadn't been set, started beeping non-stop and couldn't be turned off. The TV I had on in the living room / kitchen turned to static. The kids screamed from the bedroom because the TV they were watching was not static, but began randomly flipping through the channels quickly. The remote was on the night table and didn't have any effect. I had to unplug it. Just then, a loud crash with breaking glass came from the front entry. A large framed map of lake depths had smashed the floor, glass everywhere. Both the hanging hardware and the nail on the wall were intact. One of the rows of ceiling canister lights went out, but the rest stayed lit. My thought at the time was that something electrical got tripped or fried, although nothing in the power box was off. Even though the house was solid with radiant floors, it felt chilly inside. We decided to pack up and head home, worried about electrical fires. As I changed our daughter's diaper on the bed, it wasn't a two-year-old diaper, that would be nasty. Sorry. As I changed our two-year-old daughter's diaper on the bed, she pointed to a large antique glass front cabinet that was part of the original hunting camp. With wide, concerned eyes, she said, "Mommy, who dat man?" I looked at the cabinet and saw nothing but the linens folded inside. She asked me again and became more concerned. This creeped us out and got us moving quickly to get our stuff together, lock up the place, and go. It was getting dark as we loaded the car. My husband called our friend who owned the property to tell him of the current happenings. And before he could begin explaining, our friend said, "Hey, Doc just died an hour ago." My husband said, "Well, I think he just came to say goodbye at his old camp." Driving down the snow-covered gravel road toward home, our tires made a rhythmic scrunching sound. I was messing with the radio, and just above the noise, I thought I was hearing things, because very softly coming from the radio was Doc's voice. "Everybody here is out of sight, dancing in the moonlight."
That's a crazy story, man.
Yeah, and nothing else weird has ever happened at that place, and we still go there, swim, kayak, eat blueberries, and sometimes dance in the moonlight.
Nothing after that day?
Nope.
I find that strange.
Strange.
Like, he just made a pop-in visit.
Yeah.
Instead of staying there.
Boom, died. Hey, go visit all the places you just were.
You would have thought he was coming out.
Or spend a lot of time. Like, I hope I don't do that, because some of my houses are torn down. I'll be like, "Nothing here. Boom, going on the Southgate Drive.
Maybe,
nothing here."
Maybe you'll be able to find Bigfoot.
Maybe. That would make my death worth it, I guess.
Oh, my God. I guess so.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Did you find out if Doc Robinson sang Dancing in the Moonlight?
Well, there's no song with that name.
Oh.
That
all right.
But that doesn't mean that wasn't... You know how songs sometimes are the most popular line of the song that people know?
Yeah.
The name of the song.
So you never found it?
I cannot confirm it. It was just taking me too long.
Oh, all right. I'll find it while you're talking.
I wasn't going to talk.
What? Dancing in the Moonlight is a song written by Sherman Kelly, originally recorded in 1970 by Kelly's band Buffalongo, then a hit single by King Harvest in 1972, it says.
Yeah.
It was licensed by David Robinson, who must be Doc Robinson, I'm assuming.
Probably.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find Doc Robinson. So, what do you think of that story, though?
I love that story.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
I did, honestly.
It's a pretty cool story.
I think it's kind of maybe a little bit more believable to me, just for the sheer fact that it only happened that one day.
Oh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and the guy just died.
And I just found his obit. And it says, "Robinson David P. Doc, as most know him, passed peacefully Tuesday, December 11th. 2012 in his sleep."
Yeah.
Doc, an accomplished musician, gained notoriety for a beautiful song, "Dancing in the Moonlight." He was loved by so many as he loved them. So it's really, well, at least the facts are accurate.
That's right.
You know, like,
yeah.
Which is way better than most of a ghost story that I look up and try to research.
That's for sure.
Yeah. I've ruined many a local ghost story by researching them.
Oh. She's pulling them right out of the water.
It's so sad. Anyways, it's a good story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Doug Marshall. You came here right for our ghost story since you're a non-believer. I remember that.
So I'm going to, I have a stupid story, kind of stupid.
All right, cool.
But it doesn't say it, but I kind of think it's like COVID related.
Yeah.
And you'll understand because the site itself is from 2021.
Yeah.
And it's on three occasions this past summer. So that was their pretty heavy COVID time, right?
Yeah.
I want to know what month in 2021 it was.
Okay.
September. Okay, so it could have been just July and August, you know, prior. Anyways, on three occasions this past summer, Songshan Airport in downtown Taipei allowed 60 passengers who were the lucky winners of a contest to check in, collect their boarding passes, clear security, wait at the gate, and board a China Airlines Airbus.
Uh-huh.
The plane never left the tarmac. Once all the passengers boarded the plane, they were greeted by flight attendants.
I thought you were going to say flying saucers, and I was really excited.
They buckled up and went through the whole safety thing, and then sat on the tarmac for a little while and got off the plane.
What?
It was all like during COVID, like, so these people just wanted to like feel like they're actually allowed to fly or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Did any of them get COVID after doing that?
I don't know. It doesn't say that here. I don't know.
That's weird. But interesting.
Isn't it?
Like, how desperate are you to go pretend
to fly?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even like dealing with big airports.
Well, no, you don't. Sean had to deal with big airports when he was out killing alligators. Not in the airport.
At the same time.
They weren't in the airport, which would have made a much better story. Can you imagine, like, yeah, it was like Gatornado, man. Like, they were flying everywhere. Like, it would be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be pretty horrible. I'm trying to kill him. And Doug says he doesn't believe in paranormal stuff, or I'm assuming ghosts.
He has to experience it, he says.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's fine.
That is fine.
I just feel badly for him because he came right in the middle of a ghost story.
Oh. Yeah. Might have changed his opinion, huh?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Susie says that alligator steak is delicious. I would not know because that alligator meat is still in Florida.
Yeah, it'll get up here sometime.
For a cost of $20,000, we're going to have an alligator steak. And I'm going to go bankrupt because Sean went gator hunting.
It was an early birthday present. Myself. What?
All right, so here, another creepy story.
Yeah.
That is supposedly true. This one is from the Thought Catalog. Ready?
Okay.
It's called The Man in the Bunny Costume. When I was younger, I used to live by the woods and could see a cemetery from my back porch. I don't know why that matters in the story, actually. One Easter, I remember waking up and seeing the Easter Bunny. One of those terrifying costumes. And what really gets me is I remember smelling the wet hay. I don't know what that means. When I woke up.
Like maybe of a bunny cage that you might have.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. When I woke up, I didn't tell anyone, but there was an extra Easter egg in my house that my parents didn't hide. Years later, when I was in high school, I asked my parents if they ever dressed up like the Easter Bunny and came into our room. They said they would never go to that much trouble. I'm so sorry, but I completely believe this story because of that one line.
Right?
Like, that one line is so real.
Honest parents. That's hilarious.
Like, yeah, we don't love you that much. Hope. No. We were having some, you know, cocktails. Anyways, then my younger sister, who I shared a bunk bed with when this happened, said she remembers when the Easter Bunny came into our room and made a remark about the hay smell. I was terrified that we both remembered seeing a person dressed as a bunny in our room. To make it even stranger, I told the friends I sat with at lunch what happened. One of the girls was my neighbor across the street. She told me one Easter, a long time ago, she looked out her window during the night and saw the Easter Bunny standing in her driveway. I had chills. To this day, I am terrified of people in rabbit costumes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, if the Easter Bunny really went in those kids' room, they had a real crazy person in the neighborhood.
Can you imagine?
No.
But the hay smell. Like, the hay smell is such a specific
detail. Why would the bunny comment on it?
What?
Why would the bunny comment?
No, his sister also said there was a hay smell.
Oh,
it's written so it's confusing, but I'm pretty positive that the sister also was like, yeah, and it smelled like what hay.
Oh, okay. His sister said that the rabbit asked about the hay smell.
Yeah.
Or mentioned it.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like that, but I think that's just they're not a writer, maybe.
Okay.
Like,
I got you.
Yeah. But that's a creepy story, isn't it?
That's a super creepy story.
Yeah.
What was that bunny doing before the kids woke up?
I don't know, but what, like, did they eat the Easter egg? What if the Easter egg had been poisoned? Like, there's so many things going on right there.
Maybe it was a plastic Easter egg.
Oh,
full of candy poison. Poison candy.
But they survived.
They did.
They survived to tell the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you afraid of the Easter Bunny when you were little, Boo? No. Were you afraid of anything?
Not along those kind of lines.
What were you afraid of?
I wasn't afraid of the Tooth Fairy or the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus or clowns.
Ghosts?
Only so much as any kids probably can freak themselves out, but I didn't go, you know, thinking there was a ghost behind every door in the house at night.
No. I did.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
I believe it.
My house is creepy. People called my house my first house. D said, the talent was afraid of nothing. You are so right, D.
Just his mom.
I was not afraid of my mama, you can tell. No, I was afraid of everything. Our house was really creepy. It was a brown ranch, and it was sat on top of the hill at the corner of Hardy Road and Route 101. And it was not in a subdivision like almost everybody else's house in Bedford, New Hampshire, which became a yuppity, wealthy, white people town. And it was very full of McMansions. And my house was this ranch that my dad and my Uncle Kilton built by hand, like in the early 1960s, late 1950s or something. Yeah. So they were not builders. And the floor was kind of sloped. And my stepdad, who was a master carpenter, like had a really hard time with this house. But I thought it was really cool because my dad had built it. However, it was brown, like dark UPS brown. And it was a ranch. And it was up on this hill surrounded by woods. And everybody thought it was haunted. Like they were like, you live in the creepy house. Yeah, it was.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but it actually.
Probably not
was,
at the time.
No, it was horrifying. I was like, can I pretend to live somewhere else? The bus lets me off on my driveway right here. How can I lie? It was a creepy house. Like it was one of those houses where your mom stares at the dark of the window by the dining room table and then jumps up and like shuts the shade like that. That was almost a nightly occurrence.
Unless it's because your neighborhood Provo was
there was no neighborhood. It was woods behind our house. It was a creepy house. Lots of creepy things happened there. Lightning struck it like a million times. The roof caught on fire like three times. It was just a ridiculous the cursed house. Yeah.
The best part of this about this podcast so far, other than your stories.
Oh, right. You had to say that.
If you're actually watching this live or on a video, is the cat in the basket behind you cleaning itself.
Can I get it more? There.
You don't need to. Right, she's clearly in the picture.
Cloudy.
She's in it for my camera, too.
Yay. There's nothing better than a cat in the podcast.
At least she doesn't make noise.
No, she's a nice, quiet cat, that Cloud. She's sitting on top of my planner. Okay, so yes, Dee, you're right. The talent was afraid of nothing. He's not even afraid of gators. He killed two. And if you go to his Facebook, you can see the poor dead things.
I told you, they're not dead. They're just well-trained.
Yeah.
I think I told Doug that.
Anyways, do you have a story or do I have to do another one?
No, I have a quick little story.
Yes.
It's not scary.
Okay.
It's just kind of silly. But it tied into something we were just talking about. What were you just talking about that had something to do with swallowing something?
Was it about Harris, my pimple?
No. Anyways, so this lady, 29-year-old lady from San Diego, California, was running from some shady characters on a high-speed train. And her fiancé told her
Wait, I'm confused.
What?
Was she on the high-speed train, or was this train chasing her and she was on the tracks?
Oh, don't be a smart guy.
I didn't get it. I'm so
How
sorry.
How can you run from a high-speed train?
That's why I'm confused. I'm confused.
Just turn around and go the other way.
I'm confused. Help me out and don't make fun of my lack of an IQ.
The 29-year-old female.
Okay.
Was on the high-speed train.
You tell this like a cop. Running, a 29-year-old female was on a high-speed train. What?
Running from some shady characters.
Okay.
Also on the train.
Okay.
Her husband, or actually her fiance, told her to hide her engagement ring fast. So she took the ring off and swallowed.
Oh.
She awoke suddenly and realized it was just a dream.
No. No wonder it made no sense.
And quickly fell back asleep.
Okay.
But the next morning when she woke up, she noticed that her left hand was bare. is what it says, but wouldn't that technically be her right hand for an engagement ring?
No. Oh. No, I think you wear that on your left hand first.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyways.
I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
She went to the ER and x-ray confirmed that she had indeed swallowed her
put those on?
Engagement ring while she was sleeping. So that's the story. They pulled it out endoscopically.
Oh, no.
Down her throat. Grab it.
I hope it wasn't a big diamond or anything.
You know those things I have in my toolbox?
Yeah.
The plunger and little grippers?
That's horrible to imagine. I'm sure they did it in a better way than that.
I'm sure they have a much more costly and safe way, but it probably functions the same. Goes right down your throat into your tummy.
So, I don't know if you remember this, Shawnee, because I told you this story a long time ago, long before I knew you. And I had this dream when I was married to someone else. And yes, I've been married to someone else. I'm just going to die now. All right. And in my dream, this man who looked like the devil,
yeah,
like the stereotypical devil, like,
yeah,
from bad cartoons in the 1950s, devil, like red face and like horns. The God Pan, honestly, and then like the little horns,
yeah,
grabbed my hand and ripped the ring off of my finger and threw it into the hellfires of hell,
yeah,
I guess, in my dream.
Yeah.
And I woke up and my ring wasn't on.
So?
And I had to like search the room.
Was that me in the dream?
Apparently, yeah.
Whose husband was it?
And I had to search the room, right? And I, yeah, finally found the ring like 5 days later.
So have you taken it off and tossed it in your sleep?
Yeah, it was underneath the dresser, like in a big, yeah, pile of dust and grape, you know, dog fur and stuff. Like, yeah, but like I had to, much like that lady, I had to have in my dream like gone through the action of ripping off that.
Now.
Don't you? I've always had a dog.
You didn't have any dogs with your first three.
With my first seven husbands, I had different dogs. Doug Marshall said, it sounds like Mount Doom and a hobbit. It kind of was, and
that's
I was the hobbit. Doom. It's from the Lord of the Rings, boo.
Oh.
Yeah, pop culture fail again, my friend. Pop culture fail. Good job.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
That's why I couldn't sleep with the hobbit. Gollum was such a nasty fucker.
Language. My daughter, Emmy, was so afraid of Gollum. So afraid. And the sad thing is that everyone in my mom's side of my family, as we start getting old and dying, we all start to look like Gollum.
Really?
Yeah, I think if you look at my face, you can see it.
Oh, look like Gollum.
Yeah, we all get like these super big eyes and our faces like kind of winnow away and it's terrifying. We all look terrifying right before we die.
I thought you said you all got to like Gollum after a certain
No,
age.
We look like Gollum. We look like Gollum. Sort of like that Don Knotts, Ron Weasley look. You,
yeah,
know, that just kind of gets a little bit over the top. All right. Dee said, I've got big eyes. It's from my dad's side of the family. See, it's what happens. And then we start looking like Gollum, Dee.
Oh, big eyes?
Yeah. Yeah.
You get those,
It's bad.
Call those,
eyes?
Bug eyes.
What?
Pug,
like bug eyes, yeah.
Bug, not bug, pug, like the dog.
Oh, bug eyes. All right, so, do you need me to read a story or do you have another one?
I have another story.
I do.
I have something that's kind of interesting.
Is that our dog?
Yeah, it's our dog. She's barking at boys out. Something, I don't know.
Oh, nosies.
She'll have to be put down.
No, that's not even funny. You might have to go get her, though.
Okay.
All right. Do you want to tell the story?
So,
or should I?
So during COVID-19 era, again, once again, but this is, I just think it's a cool story.
I can't believe the puppy's barking.
A restaurant in the Swedish village of Ransater. Something going on outside.
I know.
Do I go get my gun and go check it out?
Yeah, maybe. It is Pogi. Dee asked if it was Pogi.
I I'll be right.
Okay, so Sean's gonna go get Pogi. We can all watch Sean, his Sean butt as he walks out of the house. I mean, the office. Anyways, that is Pogi. And Pogi, our puppy, doesn't usually bark much. So this is a really big deal. Maybe there's a creepy ghost out there. Maybe it's the ghost of an alligator that Sean killed. Come back to try to get, like, I don't know, revenge? Do gators do that? Do alligators have ghosts? These are all, like, the really important questions that I'm making up in my head because Sean has left me to go get Pogi, which is a really cool thing to do. Also, it's Sean's birthday tomorrow. So if you know him on Facebook, wish him a birthday. Hello.
Hello.
Bring the puppy.
No, she'll be good. Because it was UPS.
Oh.
He's leaving.
Did he bring gator meat?
No, I haven't had it shipped yet.
Okay, anyways.
I'm saving up my pennies.
Are you ready to read your story, or do you want me to read one now?
Oh, I was just talking about this. It was a restaurant in Sweden.
Okay.
And they only served one meal a day.
Okay.
And they had, out in the middle of a field, they had a table with a single chair, like, all set up for one diner with flowers in a vase and you know, your salt and pepper and stuff.
Yeah.
And they had a 50-meter-long rope, and they slid your food down in a picnic basket. A whole three-course meal.
Whoa.
And it was super popular, apparently. Like, they were booked every day for the entire summer.
That's cool. That's kind of like what we did for Halloween.
Because people couldn't, I guess, dine out in Sweden for a little bit there.
Yeah, like here. And that's like what we did for Halloween.
Yeah, when we popped the candy down the tube, right?
Yeah, so on Halloween, because of COVID, they still had Halloween. And our street is like the big Halloween street for our little community. So it has like 1,000 people, which is 1/5 of the total population of our town. And it is not the kid count for our town. So kids from other towns come in and Halloween here. Oh, I made it a verb. And so what everyone did on our street is, well, not everybody, but a lot of us created like chutes out of PVC pipe, and you'd like chuck the candy down the chute, and it had to be at an angle, and then it would like shoot into the kids' Halloween basket. And I've got to tell you, way more fun.
It was pretty fun.
Way more fun than handing out Halloween candy.
You can send anything down there. I was chucking rocks down there. Kids out there getting a good piece of candy.
Needles, syringes. It was like anything. Condoms. Horrible. Like, it was all. He put anything down there. Gator meat. No. We only put nice, good candy down there, like nice, good people we are.
That's right.
D said, that sounds totally fun. And Doug said, maybe Pogi found a Pogi stick.
No, she's in her kennel.
Doug's silly.
All right. The UPS man.
No.
Delivery men aren't welcome here, according to Pogi.
No, they're not. So, is it my turn?
Oh, well, maybe it's your turn.
All right, so the ghost babysitter is the name of the story from Thought Catalog. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
When my niece was really young, she was in a bouncer at my sister's house. Not a bouncer, a human who kicks you out of the club, but a bouncer like the baby bouncer, right? I was house. You don't care. All right.
No, I'm trying. They took a baby to the club and put her in a bouncer.
No, no, no. When my niece was really young, she was in a bouncer at my sister's house, and I was house and babysitting. Not me. I'm not the person telling the story.
I'm telling the story.
I left her to go to the kitchen to grab some water. My sister's chocolate labs, doggies, were probably like sniffing and licking her head because I could hear her giggling like she was having a blast. I hadn't noticed how cold it had gotten. And then I heard it, a loud wooden snap, like a thick piece of wood had been snapped in half suddenly, or a tree was knocked over. I ran into the room, and what I saw and smelled freaked me out. The dogs were huddled in the corner, whimpering. My niece was just staring at the ceiling corner with wide eyes, and it was cold and smelled like Stetson.
What the hell, like the cologne?
Yeah. When you were growing up, did you know anybody who smelled like Stetson?
No. I'll tell you, this could be an offensive statement. I don't want to say it.
Okay, then don't say it.
Isn't Stetson like a gift pack that you get around Christmas time from a Walmart?
I think it is. I think it might be. All right, I'll look it up afterwards. The story's not over yet, right? Good. So I took her and we decided to go to a different room. I'm sure the baby was like, yes, let's go to a different room. When my sister finally came home, I told her what happened. She just rolled her eyes and said, "That is Hugh." I was confused. She said Hugh was the previous owner of the house who had died 10 years before his wife sold it. She said he likes to follow my niece around, and you can tell it's him because the dog's freak, it gets cold and it smells like cheap cologne.
That's hilarious.
And then the guy, much like Doug Marshall, said, "I don't believe in that S-H-I-T, but I do believe that feeling you get in your gut when something doesn't feel right."
I love the cologne part, though.
Like, the cologne part is just like...
That's such a good... I don't know. For some reason in my growing up time, I think it was Brute.
Brute.
Brute aftershave.
Oh, what was it? What was it in my growing up time? Because it wasn't Brute. It was a really obnoxious cologne, and everybody smelled like it. Like every boy, like in the all of West High School in Manchester, New Hampshire, smelled like it was Axe body spray. Is that it? I think that's
that
it.
That hasn't been around forever.
Well, I haven't been
not
around
since you were a kid.
Well, maybe I'm pushing it into Emily's life, but it was definitely.
You sure you're not thinking of like Old Spice?
No, I like the smell of Old Spice. I'm going to look up Axe body spray.
You do. That's why I still wear Old Spice. I wear the modern version though. The stuff you really gets you going. Like Wolf Thorn.
Like the name of deodorant is for men is so funny.
Bear Glove.
Oh, man. I can't remember when Axe body spray started. Here, do you want to read this? It's a long one from Susie. Do you want to read it, baby?
I was kind of waiting for the rest of it to come in.
Oh, no. All right. Hold on, Susie. I'm going to. Oh, wait. Didn't something happen with that last time? Like.
Is there a continuation page?
Yeah, I think there was a continuation page.
Oh, boy.
On Facebook. So I might have to find that and do it instead.
Who changed my name?
I did. For those of you who are only listening after the fact, my name is Carrie, she, her, in parentheses, co-host. And Sean's name is Sean, the Gator Killer.
No. It should say Gator Hunter.
You killed the gator.
Huh?
You killed the gator.
Yeah, I killed who?
Well, so I should I have had made it plural?
The killer of gators?
Yeah. No?
I got it. Don't you worry, baby.
What are you doing?
Updated it.
What?
I updated it.
Oh, what did you call yourself?
The Gator Hunter.
Gosh.
Uh-oh. You might have lost me for a minute.
Uh-oh.
Visually.
Where did you go?
I'm here. Let me in.
Oh, my God. This is in charge.
I know. You got to figure out that Susie thing.
What?
You've got to figure out.
Okay, I'm going to go find Susie's thing. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, that means I have to go on Facebook.
I will talk about something else Susie said.
Thank you.
She said, how about Jade East or English leather? Oh. I'm not familiar with Jade East, but definitely English leather.
I know.
Another cologne.
Okay, how's Susie's? Ready?
The whole thing?
Yes.
All right, go ahead, baby.
I had a visit from my husband's grandmother the day after she died. Hubby headed to New York when he got the news, and I stayed home with our one-year-old son. That night, Nan appeared at the foot of my bed. She said she loved me and came to say goodbye to her great-grandson. She went into the nursery and stood beside the crib, stroked Arthur's head, and said she loved him, and then she was gone. Hubby Art called me right after this happened and told me he got a call from Nan at the motel he stayed at that night. She said she loved him, and then the line went dead.
Whoa. That's crazy. Actually, both of those things happening at basically the same time.
Yeah.
Pretty insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool.
It is cool.
I hope I get to do that like when I die.
Just send me a text.
All right, so you know something weird that happens to me?
What?
So you know how they always have like those predictive texts? can't say that word, things where you're like, you write, type in these three words and then keep pressing the middle text in your phone, right? Whenever I do that, and this is important to say ahead of time, I never, no offense to you, my dead mother, but I never text my mom's name, nor does Emily, nor does Sean, like none of them. Nobody in my family ever sends texts about dead people in our family. It's just not how we work, right? So my mom's name, or Nana, which is what she, Emily called her, our oldest daughter, is not in my phone. And my mom's been dead for like 10 or 11 years. But every time I do that, I get texts that sound like, that are basically like, I love you, baby, and I'm so proud of you. Love you the whole world. Love Nana. Love Nana. Love Nana. XOXO. Love Nana. Love Nana. I love you, baby. Love Nana. Like, I could probably do that right now, and that's what I would get on my phone.
That's crazy.
It's so weird. So weird. The end.
I'm going to have to check out your text history someday and see if you had a psychotic break.
And I just call every, like, I'm secretly texting Nana, Nana, Nana at everybody, and I don't realize it.
No, your mom.
What?
No, you're texting your mom.
No.
Not everybody else.
Oh, no. I don't think that would still work, though. So Dee said that her aunt kind of did something similar, she feels like.
Yeah?
Yeah. I wonder what it is. Maybe Dee will figure it
maybe
out.
Maybe Dee will give us a little bit more of a story.
Do you have another story, or do you want me to read one?
You got more stories?
Of course I have more stories.
Why are you always better prepared lately?
Because I was a reporter in a past life, and I know how to research.
Oh, baby, you're still a reporter.
Oh, I forgot.
Bar Harbor story.
No, man. I'm a news blogger now, and it's not quite the same thing. So it means I don't have to take pictures all the time, and nobody yells at me at my workplace anymore.
That's kind of true. Nice.
So, all right.
Is that the life of a reporter?
Yeah.
Getting yelled at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Often. But then there's no camaraderie of the newsroom when you're the only person doing it. So that kind of sucks. All right. So, ready?
Well, I'll start smoking cigars and cussing all the time.
Drinking your whiskey in a flask.
I'll be your editor.
Oh, dear God, no. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
A stranger in the house. Sounds creepy just from the title. Ready? In college, I would go home every other weekend to work at the job I had since high school. I would drive directly from campus after my last class on Friday to my job, about an hour, and after my shift was done, I'd go back to my parents' house, which was out in the middle of nowhere. My parents weren't yet home when I got back from work. They often spend their Fridays and Saturday evenings drinking like they were the ones in college. It's funny. All right, so the house was dark, and since it was mid-fall, so was the yard, save for the yard light. Wait, is Emily telling this story? Is this our kid's story?
Huh?
No, never mind. I pulled into the normal parking lot spot, got out of the car, and then turned to open the back door of my car and get my backpack out of the back seat. That's when I noticed that the bathroom light was on. Was that light on when I pulled up? It must have been, right? As I was contemplating the light and reaching for my backpack, there was suddenly a very angry-looking old woman standing in the window, staring at me. We're not talking resting B-I-T-C-H face here either. She was P-I-S-S-E-D off at me, and I knew it. We stood there, staring at each other for a good 10 seconds when my parents pulled into the driveway and distracted me from my stare down with the woman in the bathroom. By the time I turned back, the light was still on, but the woman was gone.
That's a good story.
But I need a more of an ending.
Do you know where that was?
It's in Thought, the Thought Company.
Thing. No, where in the world?
No, I don't have any details. All I have is what I gave you. And cool. I want more details. Like,
did anything else happen? Probably not.
Oh, Dee remembers. Okay. After she died, Dee says, I had a dream that she came to me and hugged me goodbye. I remember asking her if she was alive before she hugged me, and she shook her head no, and then I got a hug and woke up.
That's sad.
Oh, see? Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Dude, what? If I was Dee's aunt, I would come back and hug her too. Because Dee's wonderful. And so are Susie's men and Susie. Oh, all right. Anyways. Maybe we're not good enough to have ghostly relative visitors, Sean.
I know. That's because we don't do the whole family thing. We're pretty lax. We don't send out birthday cards, hardly.
I send out birthday cards sometimes. Gifts. My family doesn't love me. It's hard to send out birthday cards. Okay, anyway.
Right, that's your problem. It is mine.
Yeah, you just have problems. Your family loves you. All right. One more?
One more ghost story?
It's just one more creepy story.
Creepy?
I haven't read it yet, so I don't know if it's a ghost story or not.
Oh.
Ready?
Fire away.
When the dead walk the halls. I used to volunteer at a nursing home where we had several instances where new residents accurately described former residents down to specific nightgowns or color of glasses who I and the staff knew had died in that room and complain about them coming into the room at night. Then, once I was walking through the hallway and it was normally uncomfortably warm inside, but I felt a chill and goosebumps. One of the CNAs said I had just walked through a ghost. I couldn't get warm again for the rest of the day. There were flickering lights and TVs turning themselves on. Several of the staff were from the same foreign country, and they were talking about ghosts and disrespect for the dead so much that management had someone come in and do a candlelight ceremony, and this lady with crystals and dreadlocks came in to do a sage brushing. Things calmed down after that. Light stayed on better, and the residents seemed calmer.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that wasn't as cool a story as I
hoped. Definitely not as cool. You got some good ones there.
I did, but that one wasn't as cool as I... This one's in Maine. Ready?
Wait, I have a question for Dee.
Oh, yes.
So earlier, she couldn't hear us because she was out clubbing. does that mean she bailed on her friends and ran home, or what?
I know, I want to know. Maybe D has headphones on.
Oh, maybe. Earbuds in. Mm-hmm. AirPods.
It could happen.
Heck yeah, it could.
Ah, D says we're wonderful, too. Okay, ready?
I think she said that specifically to you, babe.
Oh, it might be you.
No, I think it's probably you. You would come back and hug D, too.
Oh, I would. Okay, ready?
Yes.
The nightmares. I was a caretaker of a small, uninhabited island off the coast of Maine. And my girlfriend and I started having synchronized nightmares about things that we had never discussed before. They involved very specific themes. And after a month of this happening, we were gifted a history book of the island that had a small chapter in the back that mentioned the exact hauntings. Da-da-da!
Is that the end of the story? What are the exact hauntings?
I don't know. It doesn't tell us.
Is he talking about what they used to dream?
What?
Is that what they were dreaming about, the hauntings, or what?
Yeah.
Because that was the only thing that writer talked about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right, here's a creepy one. Ready? This is not about ghosts. This is why my basement is locked. My mother was having dinner at a friend's house. It was a small old cottage that had been around for 100 years. She tries to find the bathroom and pulls on a door that's locked. The friend sees and says, "Sorry, that goes to the basement. The bathroom's over there." Thinking it's odd, my mother asks why the basement door is locked. It's always locked. In fact, I don't even have a key for it. The real estate agent advised me not to go down there as it's not being upgraded like the rest of the cottage. It's more like it's basically a root cellar. So fast forward a few weeks when my mother, who works for the police department's community division, is working on a project about the history of the police department in the town. An old man comes in with news clippings about various community events, as well as news clippings from the 1950s about a gruesome murder. My mom was a bit taken aback. "Sorry, I forgot these clippings were in here too," he said. "No, I know this address. It's my friend's house. What happened there?" she said. "Oh," said the old man, "well, that used to be my mother's house. She'd been dating this man who was cruel to her, beat her horribly. She tried again and again to break it off with him, but he'd always come back. Finally, my aunt moved in with us, and my mom finally broke up with him. He started getting emotional and then said, then one night he broke in and tied my mother, aunt, sister, and brother up in the basement. He shot them all in front of my mother. Then he shot her and killed himself, leaving a note that she would never leave him again. And I was away at college.
Damn.
And that is how my mother's friend learned she had a haunted quadruple murder-suicide scene in her basement. She moved out a year later.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine?
I think you have to divulge that sort of information.
You would think so. But imagine the real estate agent being like, oh, no, just don't go down there. Yeah, just keep that locked. You and I would never keep that locked.
No, I would have opened it before I bought the house. That's for damn. You don't buy a house without
looking at the basement. Like, did the inspector, do they not have housing and house inspectors in other places?
Not back then. The house inspections weren't routine like they are now.
Oh,
not at all.
Wow. Well, that's why they need to be.
It was a potential buyer inspection. You know what I mean? So I asked that question of Dee about, because I don't think she heard me say thank you for the card, for the birthday card.
Yeah.
So very much.
Thank you, Dee.
You're the best. That's so awesome.
The ultimate best. Susie said to look up Colonel Buck's cursed tomb in Bucksport. I have, Susie. I have.
Yes, you have.
And that is a good story.
Was that a seed for one of your books?
I wrote a like a monologue, a dramatic monologue for the Penobscot Theater's Halloween event during COVID. And then I also used it in a book because I resourced it. And I have used bits of that haunting and bits of another Bucksport haunting in a couple things. Bucksport is a town in Maine, for those of you who do not live here, and it is allegedly a very haunted town. One of my best friends, who is now dead, and he absolutely wanted to come back as a ghost, Don Radovich, said his house was haunted in Bucksport.
And he lived in Bucksport?
Yeah. Until he moved to Blue Hill with Paige. Yeah, he lived in Bucksport with Dwight. And I think he and Paige also had a house in Bucksport for a little bit. But yeah, he loved Bucksport, specifically because it was supposed to be so haunted and creepy.
That's awesome.
I know. At his funeral, to give you an understanding of Don Radovich, the man, the myth, he had instead of you all go to the wake and you mourn.
Yeah.
It was like in their house and it was all like all his stuff for like Halloween and like skulls were everywhere.
So it was like
candles. Yeah. It was, and everybody had like tequila shots or something. It was like easily, even though it was devastating because I loved him so much, the best.
The best.
Morning time I've ever had.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they played creepy music and then mariachi music, and it was just so much fun at the end.
Mariachi music.
Yeah. If they were all killed, Doug asked, how would anyone know the sequence of events? I think that you can definitely tell the sequence of events, right, cop Sean, former cop?
Well, it could be easy if all of the family members except for the mom were on one side of the room, and the mom was on one side, opposite side of the room. Potentially even facing the other side. And then the guy was found somewhere else with the murder weapon in his hand that also killed him. It would be pretty logical that you could assume that he made the mom watch.
Or maybe he
it's
could.
Not guaranteed. Maybe
definitely watched, not guaranteed.
Maybe he made the others watch him kill the mom. Who knows?
Or maybe he said something to people prior. Or maybe somebody survived a little bit. Or maybe, there could be a million reasons.
He left a note?
I don't think it did. No.
Oh, okay.
But he could have. We don't know the whole story.
Yeah, he could have left a. What do you call that?
Confession?
Confession. But that's not what I was thinking of. When people write long, extended manifesto.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Or maybe just because it's the typical MO of somebody who's evil and abusive. Like,
right.
They want to inflict as much pain as possible.
Oh, he did leave a note that said she'll never leave him again.
Oh, did she?
I think he also confessed in the note. Anyways.
Oh, yeah. Leaving a note that she would never leave him again. Yeah. Okay. So he definitely left a note.
Right. Well, he didn't confess to that, maybe. Anyways. My wonderful card arrived before my birthday, Dee. Thank you.
Yes.
And happy birthday to you, too.
Unlike your card.
What?
Unlike Dee's card.
Oh, yeah.
Because we said
it's not going to arrive before your birthday.
If it makes you feel better, we haven't sent Sean's brother, who also has the same birthday, a card yet either.
Oh, well, I can text him.
Susie said, my friend who works for the Penobscot Theater has seen the ghost of a little girl who, quote, lives there. He said she is sweet and friendly. Aw, that's nice. There's nothing better than a nice ghost.
Little girl, a friendly little girl ghost.
Yeah. Though according to those guys on Ghost Adventures, they always turn into demons. They pretend to be children and coax you in, and then, wah, the demon and possess you.
So innocent.
Yeah, pretty much.
Look at Chucky.
Oh, gosh. Chucky is very, very frightening to me.
Well, he's a doll anyways.
I know.
Not a human child.
There was one. All right, before we go. There was this one thing on Unexplained Maine from this woman. It's too long for me to read. But it's basically that she hates New Hampshire, another state in New England that borders Maine. It's the only state that borders Maine. And in order to get from Maine to New Hampshire, you have to cross like a river usually. And she said that like she spent all this time in New Hampshire. She knew all these pastors there. They all went to the Lakes region of New Hampshire because it felt so evil. Doug's from New Hampshire, so he might, if you can remember that far, like into his childhood. And it felt, I think, or is he Doug from Marshall? Vermont? Yeah, shoot. I forgot if it was New Hampshire. No, I meant like, you know, your childhood's a long time away. For me, at least it is, because I'm 100 years old. But like, so if you like, remember back to New Hampshire. Were you like, I have to get out of New Hampshire? New Hampshire is evil. Because that's what this woman said she felt and all her, oh, it was Vermont, darn it, that she felt and all her pastor friends felt. And everything, like, she just felt like they were absolutely cursed the entire time they lived in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And then, so she had to go back to New Hampshire for something, and she had two exchange students with her. And she brings them to New Hampshire. And on the way back out, like they crossed the bridge back into Maine, and she hadn't said anything like about this the whole trip. And they were both like, oh, thank God we're out of that state. Like they just felt like all of New Hampshire
was evil, huh?
In a bad way.
That's
weird. And I was just wondering if like anybody has feelings like that about
another place.
Yeah. Or like a specific state or a town, you know, like, Don was like, Bucksport's so creepy and haunted. I love it. But are you like, hey, you know, Guilford, New Hampshire. Sorry, Guilford, New Hampshire. I'm just making that up because you're in the Lakes region. Like, so haunted. I had to get out right away. You know?
That's crazy.
Like, have you ever had that feeling about a place?
Nah. Not so haunted. I had to get out right away.
Well, it was very funny because in the comments to that post, and there were a lot of comments, people are like, oh my God, I hate New Hampshire.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's weird.
And I'm from New Hampshire, so my heart
hurts. Some states just don't have, we've been to states before that are just like, we just thought they were kind of boring or whatever. But
boring, but not like,
you know what I think?
Dark
where I felt,
state of doomness.
I didn't think necessarily feel a dark state of doom, but I felt.
Are you sure you want to out a state like this?
It's a town.
Okay.
It's in Florida.
Okay.
It was Apalachicola when we stayed in that B&B.
Oh, that was haunted, though.
And there was a cemetery across the street and stuff.
Yeah, we're not going to tell that story.
I just felt a little funny there.
Should we tell that story?
No, we don't have time.
Oh, all right. It's a good story.
Save it though. For another night, baby.
All right. Well, Joan, hey, Joan, said Jerome, Arizona is actually a real ghost town.
And it gave her the heebie-jeebies.
I bet it did. Apalachicola is a very cool town, but it did.
Oh, I've lived there.
What? We'd live there. We'd live there. But it felt haunted.
Part of it, at least.
Yeah. We were at a bed and breakfast and weird stuff happened. And Susie said, we had only been in this house a month when a gruesome murder took place in one of the quad units of our housing area. Oh, gosh. I get a bad feeling every time I go past that unit. How could you not?
Yeah, that's yuck.
That's so sad.
It is.
I'm so sorry. Ugh.
Especially if it was gruesome.
Yeah. I mean, all murders are bad, but I don't know. Murder sucks. The end.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean.
And if you're going to have a ghost here, this is our life tip for you at the end of this podcast.
Oh, you have one?
Yes. If you're going to have a ghost, have a friendly ghost. Have a friendly.
Well, I don't think you get to pick your ghost.
Have a Hugh who just kind of randomly follows you around and smells like Stetson cologne.
You know, better like Stetson than cigarettes. Which is what we get in this house a lot.
I really. Yeah, we do. But all my parents smoke, so maybe it's just one of them.
Just your mom passing through?
Or my stepdad. Or my real dad. Everybody but my hobbit dad. You know, like, they all kind of. I think Axe body spray didn't happen until 2002, so it was definitely.
Oh, you were looking that up.
Yeah, I've been trying to find out the whole podcast.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Definitely wasn't when you were a teenager.
No, but I want to know what it was. I feel like there was this definite thing everybody sprayed, and my friend Chris LaSalle, who's not here tonight, it's his birthday today, and he definitely talked about this all the time, but I can't remember.
Certain products?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, okay. It was everybody was wearing it. I'm gonna have to look it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, it's 8:01 right now.
Well, thank you all for being here. Hopefully we'll be better in 2 weeks when we're back again. Yeah.
We'll be back.
We'll be back in the swing of things.
Back. I didn't say in the swing of things, but I couldn't figure it out. That's a good one. Back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle again.
Giddy
up. Yeehaw. All right. I have to find our outro.
You do.
D, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, D.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Yes.
It's almost your birthday, babe.
Almost.
So everybody, happy birthday to Sean, too. Make him feel loved. And because God knows,
you can help me out tomorrow if you want to make me feel up. What?
Doing like changes?
Cleaning the house.
Oh. All right, goodbye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Loving the Strange. Please be sure to like and subscribe. And remember, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Go get your strange on, friends. Thanks for listening.